Looking at this huge stack of engineering white papers and design guidelines you sent over, it's just wild how much of our modern infrastructure is riding on this, like, seemingly simple piece of metal.
Yeah, right. It really is the central nervous system of any high-power building. I mean, whether you are relying on the power in a hospital or running a massive data center, you are trusting that the engineers didn't just pick a random chunk of metal, you
Right.
know? They had to design a system capable of handling extreme physical physics.
Absolutely. So, okay, let's unpack this because picking a bus bar sounds like pretty dry catalog flipping engineering. But our mission today is to decode how this invisible choice is actually a high-stakes balancing act of thermal, mechanical, and economic limits that dictates whether a facility survives a catastrophic electrical fault.
Right, and since the fundamental enemy of electrical flow is heat, the sources start right at the raw material.
Which makes sense. And they specifically highlight copper QETP as the ultra-reliable compact default. But wait, if that copper is the absolute gold standard for conductivity, why would anyone risk using aluminum in a critical facility just to save a few bucks up front?
Well, it usually comes down to massive scale. If a project is incredibly sensitive to weight or raw material costs, pivoting to aluminum makes sense on paper, but the trade-off is it's steep.
Because you need more space.
Exactly. Aluminum requires a much larger cross-section to carry the same current. And more importantly, aluminum oxidizes rapidly. If those joints aren't meticulously maintained, that oxidation increases the electrical resistance at the connection.
And higher resistance means more heat.
Right, which then accelerates the oxidation even further. It creates a classic thermal runaway loop that can easily end in a fire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's why material choice heavily dictates your maintenance schedule.
That makes the metal finishes make a lot more sense, too. Plating isn't just to look nice. Gare copper is perfectly fine for a standard climate-controlled indoor setup, but add humidity to the mix.
And you need a tin plating to stop corrosion.
Right. Or for incredibly demanding contact points where you need the absolute lowest possible resistance, you have to step up to a silver plating.
Plating protects the metal, but you still have to deal with ambient heat. Ambient temperature essentially steals your temperature rise margin. Like, if you put a bus bar in a hot sealed room, you cannot just trust the catalog's current rating.
Okay, the concept of deaerating. So it's like forcing a marathon runner to race in a sauna.
A sauna, yeah.
A runner relies on the temperature difference between their body and the surrounding air to sweat and shed heat. If the room's already hot, that differential completely vanishes and they overheat. So putting a highly rated bus bar in a hot, sealed enclosure is doing the exact same thing, right? It loses its ability to dissipate heat into the air.
That is a brilliant way to conceptualize it. The heat has nowhere to go. So engineers are forced to upsize to a thicker, larger bus bar just to survive normal day-to-day operations without melting.
But surviving the slow bake of ambient heat is one thing. These specs go deep into sudden, violent short circuits. Sizing a bus bar purely by normal load current seems like a massive rookie trap.
It really is, because a short circuit attacks the metal in two completely different ways simultaneously. First, you have the thermal fault, which is measured as the Icodar reading.
So the ICA rating is essentially a race against the breaker's clearing time. The metal acts as a thermal sponge, soaking up a massive spike in heat, and it has to have enough physical mass to avoid melting before the breaker finally trips to kill the circuit.
Precisely. But while it's absorbing that heat, it's also enduring a brutal physical attack, which is the dynamic fault, or Ithaca rating. I mean, what's fascinating here is the physics of a surge.
Oh.
When a massive fault current surges through parallel bus bars, it generates intense opposing magnetic fields. Those fields repel each other with immense force, literally trying to violently bend or rip the metal apart.
Wow. So that means the physical spacing of the support cleats holding the metal in place is just as critical as the thickness of the metal itself. If the cleats are too far apart, the magnetic force just snaps the bar.
The mechanical support has to perfectly match the electrical potential.
Which brings us to how we actually lay out these panels today. Because here's where it gets really interesting. Reading through these modern system specs, the old rule of thumb where engineers would just copy the main phase dimensions for the neutral bar is completely dead.
Yeah, in older, simpler electrical systems, matched neutral bar work fine. But when you plug in uninterruptible power supplies, variable frequency drives, server racks, and even massive arrays of LED lighting, you create nonlinear loads.
I know those devices are everywhere now, but why do they specifically attack the neutral bar?
Because they generate what are called triplet harmonics. In a standard balanced three-phase system, the phase currents naturally cancel each other out at the neutral connection.
Right.
But triplet harmonics don't cancel out. They are in phase with each other, meaning they mathematically add together. All that electrical noise and distortion stacks up directly on the neutral bar.
So because of our like energy-efficient modern tech, the neutral bar today might actually need to be double the size of the main phase bars, just to keep the building from catching fire.
Yeah, it really highlights the golden rule from your sources, you know?
Yeah.
The optimal bus bar is the smallest footprint that still survives all these thermal, mechanical, and harmonic limits.
Because for any critical facility, the cost of unexpected downtime is infinitely higher than the cost of a little extra copper.
Exactly. You never want the nervous system to be the weak link.
It definitely leaves you with a massive question to ponder. If everyday nonlinear devices like LED lights and computer servers are already forcing engineers to drastically upsize our neutral bus bars, how completely are the hidden electrical panels in our homes and cities going to need to evolve as our entire world becomes fully digital and electrified?